Hey, 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 Closet Busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, closet dwellers and bold move makers. It is time once again for Life Uncloseted, where we kick down the doors. We say we're no longer going to live our lives in the closets, and we're going to be exactly who we're meant to be, however that looks, even if that means bringing a little passion into life. But you know what? When you talk about passion, it's always that question of, what is my passion? Why do I struggle to follow mine? Is it really necessary for me to have passion to live a really good life? And these are all really great, great questions. But what do you do when you find yourself unable to bring passion into your life? It's totally elusive. Well, for the guests that we're going to have on today, you go and you build a conference all around passion. And I have to tell you, I can tell this guy's totally, totally passionate about what he's doing. His name is Kerry Smolinski. He's the author of Living Life with Passion and Helping Others. And as a businessman and a producer of events, I can tell you he is bringing it this coming May in Chicago with the Passion Summit. And as soon as I got connected to him, I thought this guy would be really great to have on Life Uncloseted, because you cannot live your life uncloseted without some passion in your life. So I'm going to shut up now and bring Kerry on. Welcome to the program, Kerry.
Thank you very much, Rick. A pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So you have no passion for life, right? That's why you're doing this.
Exactly. You know, it's not even just having a passion for life. It's just the awareness that life is so short, yep, and so many opportunities that if I live 10 lifetimes, it wouldn't be enough. And I'm just super excited about any opportunities and anything that can be shared, learned, experienced, and always pushing myself physically, mentally, emotionally, and that's in a nutshell.
So when did you really start getting this? Sorry about that, about clearing my throat, but we're live, so we just got to do what we got to do here. But when did you really start understanding this passion thing in your life? Was it at a young age? Was it, you know, when you got into college? Where did it start to really show up for you?
Well, I've always been passionate about things like helping others and philanthropy and my work and anything that I did. Mm-hmm. I gravitated to the things that I really enjoyed and were passionate about. And it really wasn't until 2014 in December where I attended a conference. A friend of mine had produced, his name is Hal Elrod, mm-hmm, author of Miracle Morning, and John Berghoff, and they put together the Best Year Ever blueprint. And it was at that event, based on the amazing connections that I made and just the synergy with the people at that time, that I literally got back on the plane after San Diego to Chicago and just started writing. And I've always been in a situation where I do extreme sports. I push myself and do different things. And I always, if I have any opening on my schedule, I fill it up, and I'm always looking to do things. And I guess for a while I was thinking, is this me trying to figure out what I really want to do? Mm-hmm. Or is it that I'm just passionate about a lot of things? And when I started writing stories and experiences, it made me realize that throughout my life, and especially my childhood, I always collected things, whether it was a beer can collection, whether it was a stamp collection, or a coin collection, whether it was even younger stickers or whatever. I always collected things. Mm-hmm. And you collect things, and when you're done collecting them, they're stored. And I still have all those things, and they're stored somewhere. And what good does it do to store these things? And I realized I've had these amazing experiences. I've produced events all over the world. I've met phenomenal people, motivational people, and people that have, on their own, changed the world in different ways. And I realized that keeping that knowledge to myself doesn't do anything. And I'm always searching for more. If I don't share that, what good is it? So that was the impetus of me writing my book. And it was a year-long process. And that really is where I defined that my my true passion is living life with passion and helping others and doing all the things that I can fill myself with in a exciting way, an adrenaline rush way, mm-hmm. in a way that helps business and family and philanthropy and all those different things. So, you know, as opposed to a lot of people that say you can only do one thing, well, after you put your 10,000 hours in and you become an expert at it,
right?
I believe you can do other things and become an expert as long as you're not multitasking and as long as you do them one at a time and completely focused.
You know, I love what you just brought up because I think this is the thing that a lot of people miss about doing things and doing things with passion is they think there's this like black and white way to get there. And the thing is when you get into the gray or you get into the place where it's like, okay, let's look at all the different ways to get stuff done. It doesn't necessarily have to be a path. It can be lots of different paths to get where you're going and defining your passion. And as I was listening to you, I thought, this is the perfect example of your passion finding you. Because you kind of were going down a path and then suddenly it came to you. And so many of us think, okay, I got to go in pursuit of this, in pursuit of this, in pursuit of this. But actually, a lot of times it comes to you. Now, the thing that I've learned as I've gone through my own changes and come into what I do, which is my passion, is it'll come and it'll show up. And then if you ignore it, it'll go away for a little while and it'll come and it'll show up again. And then it'll go away and it'll keep coming back till you finally embrace it. And that sounds like that's exactly what happened for you, is it showed up and you said, okay, I need to pay attention to this.
Well, it was a situation where everything I was doing, I loved what I was doing.
And
I
right, was right.
Work and everything, but it's the bigger picture. You know, we all have different realizations in life. And I'd like to call it where first you have a job, then that turns into a career. And if you're lucky enough, that turns into a calling.
Yep,
and
when
you find those things out early or late in life, you need to do the things you need to do until you can do the things you choose to do. And I think perseverance and, you know, looking at failure as positive is a huge thing. There's so many ways, but so many people look at failing at something as a negative. And if I hadn't failed over and over in different ways, I wouldn't be as successful as I am right now, because you learn from your mistakes and you grow. And, you know, unless you have a mentor in every single area of your life, you have to do trial and error, and it's just a matter of how you pick yourself up and keep moving.
Why do you think people are so afraid of that, failing and failing and failing over again?
It's not a good feeling, and it's something that it's a lot easier to accept the status quo than to push limits. And I believe everyone has everything they need to be the best version of themselves. Sometimes they don't realize, and sometimes they don't see the way to get to that point. And, you know, if you have a goal, there's different ways to achieve this goal. Number one, I think you really have to define and identify what that is.
Right.
And me, when I realized what I wanted to do, and first it was the book to mm-hmm. get that word out and share it with the world, I think without vision, there's no direction. Mm-hmm. Without direction, there's no plan to get to your destination. So you really need a roadmap. And then once you know and identify what that goal is, you need to share it. That makes you accountable, first of all. And when I decided to write my book, the first thing I did was under my signature line in my email, I wrote, forthcoming author of Living Life with Passion and Helping Others. Mm-hmm. And it was out there.
Yeah.
I was accountable. I had to come up with this book at some point, not just, yeah, one day I'm going to write a book. And then, you know, to the goal of achieving is commit to achieving it and have a no excuses mindset. So really it's people are more powerful than they think they are. And there's so much to be said about mindfulness and a positive mental attitude mm-hmm. that when you look at things on a daily basis, even if you're making small progress, you're still making progress to your goal.
Right. It's a biggie. You know, it's interesting that you just brought this up, because I was just literally before we got on here to record this, I was just having a very similar discussion with a client, and he's like, I guess I need to let go of this fear of failure. And I said, and if you let go of it, what starts to happen? What becomes different? How do you then begin to approach? If I, as your coach today, I say, okay, you say you want to let go of this fear of failure. So if you could make that magic wand moment happen today, a week from now when we get back on the phone, what would be different? And he kind of paused, and then he said, well, I guess I'd get some shit done. And I thought, that's kind of the bottom line right there, you know?
That's pretty epic, that's true.
Yeah, it's about as simple as it gets, but I think so often when we get in that space where our head is saying, yeah, but, instead of yes, and, then we can't get anything done. And I think what I've seen just in the, you know, time I've been looking at your stuff and looking at your book and watching what you're doing with the Passion Summit and everything, this has kind of been your lifelong thing is, let's just keep moving. Let's keep going. Let's keep seeing what can be done. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know it's a little cliche, but if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Mm-hmm. And it's true though, because you can always talk about the things you want to do, but you never do them. And if you never face your fears and you never progress and you don't seek help of a coach or an expert in the field,
right,
it's going to take you a lot longer. Uh-huh. And there's something to be said about having accountability partners and being on task. And if you spent just a little bit of time each week in planning your weekly schedule, then your time is going to be more constructive. You know, we all talk about the technology that's out there and how it makes us able to be more connected and be more efficient. But at the same time, it's a huge distraction.
Absolutely.
And I think if people focused on time periods when they were just focusing on their emails or they were just focusing on certain calls, then we wouldn't have people multitasking, trying to be on a conference call, send out emails, do something else, and not really fully engaged in anything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not focused, just like if you're driving and you're texting, you're not focused on driving.
Right,
so
right.
I would say be 100% in whatever you're doing. And it took me a year to write the book. And that's only because when I was writing it, I was completely immersed in it.
Yeah. And
the direction.
Yeah. I think the thing that's so interesting about this is when you do the immersion, and Tony Robbins does this, I did some training with his coaching program. It's called chunking. And when you chunk the time and say, this is what I'm going to do. In fact, for the listeners, so you kind of understand how all this podcasting stuff comes together, there are only certain days of the week I do this. And there's only certain times of the week that I do this. And it's not just, okay, let's go record. There's a set amount of time that the recording happens, that we get the show page put together, that the artwork gets put together. It's all done in one set time. And when I'm in that mode, in fact, when we just, for example, when we get done recording this, I will go into that mode and we'll go do the edit. We'll do the show page. We'll do all this stuff. And that's all that I will allow to be in my way at that moment. There isn't going to be a call I'm going to take. There isn't. It is literally blocked out on my calendar that this is a podcast chunk. And for that moment, the recording happens and everything else happens. And I know for me, as I've moved into that way of being, and some people go, oh, wow, that's really like really rigid. Well, yes and no. It's actually what makes me successful. It's actually what makes me stay sane. It's also what helps me not be stressed in my life because I know here's what's going to show up. Now, does that mean from time to time I'll move things and go, okay, yeah, we're going to do this? Of course. But I think this is the thing that when you can start to approach life that way, and I even do it with my coming out clients when they're coming out of the closet, I invite them to pick particular times of the week to focus on certain things about coming out. So for this chunk of time, you're only going to focus on the joy you're going to experience once you're truly who you are. And then for this chunk of time, let's think about if they have a religious thing going on. Focus on, you know, how are you going to come to terms with your religion or your faith around this stuff? It's so much better, and I think that's what you're alluding to, Gary, is that if we get everything mixed up, we can't get anything done.
Exactly. Getting distracted, and you keep going back and forth, and then you're in the middle of something, and then you decide to respond to an email that pops up, or you decide to take a call, and whatever you were doing, you lost your train of thought, you have to come back to it. It takes longer, and you're not as efficient. And, you know, that it, just in the same thought pattern, you really have to block out time for yourself, whether it's mindfulness, whether you're working out, whether it's family, whether it's spending time with a significant other, whatever it is, if you don't block it out, something else is going to come up and fill that space. The other thing that I think is important for your listeners is it's important to learn how to say no. And what I mean by that is for years, I'd always be the person that would be a go-to person to make things happen, and I would gladly do it. And then what ended up happening over time is sometimes it's not appreciated, or sometimes people tend to take advantage of your generosity. Not necessarily intentionally, but you know, your time is valuable for you to do whatever you're doing. And not necessarily just saying no, but if someone asks for something, a lot of times I would ask them to shoot me a quick email with what they're looking for. And just by me asking that, I'm going to say 75% of those requests never came to fruition because I never got an email.
Right.
You have to look at where everything's coming from and look at yourself and value your time and keep your focus.
So as you began to put this beautiful summit together, the Passion Summit, what is it that you really want people to walk away from when at the end of the conference, when it's all said and done and you're on to the next thing? If you could say the ideal thing I'd love people to take away, because I know this is probably part of what's already been happening as far as chunking your time and, you know, how are we planning this? It's all the logistics happen, but I know for me, when I'm thinking about doing this sort of stuff, like even this podcast, what is the thing that I want people to most walk away from this conversation with Carrie and I, is I put some thought into that because that's part of the result. So I'm curious what's coming up for you as you're getting closer and closer each day to this thing actually happening.
Well, there's a lot of things, and they're going to come away with amazing content. They're going to be inspired. They're going to meet amazing people. But the purpose of this is not just to share that, because motivation is just like bathing. I mean, you can't just take a shower and say, okay, I'm good. You can't take another one pretty soon. And you can leave a conference and be super motivated, and next week you're back to your old habits.
Right.
So I'm looking at this as really creating a global community of like-minded people who want to live in a big way and live life, enjoy life, follow their passions, be charitable, be cohesive, and network. And the big part of this is really a networking opportunity to gain accountability partners, to gain a higher level of an inner circle. And what I mean by that is a lot of times people are comfortable with who they're normally conversing with, who they're hanging out with.
Right.
And a lot of times that's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And many times there's negative people involved in that inner circle.
Yep.
And we've all had that. We've all had people that have not supported us in something we were doing. Mm-hmm. And if you have negative people, you really have to learn to curtail that. And I'm not saying necessarily, although I've done this as well, change those relationships, but at least open yourself up to a broader range of people that can give you influence to get to a better place in life. And that's what this is really about. It's about networking with amazing people. We're going to have phenomenal speakers. We're going to have interactive activities. We're doing it's a Monday, Tuesday. So it's a perfect time of the week for this. We're doing a Monday night costume networking party. Tuesday is about giving back and learning how that changes you. And we have incorporated three different charities that people can find what they gravitate towards and figure out how we can co-create the future of us as a community helping these charities and helping the world. And in a bigger picture, we're going to be doing things like publishing a book from the Passion Summit, sharing the top passion stories of people that attended. We're also creating two trips for people in attendance that are optional, and one is a giving back trip we're going to do every year, and one is a passion trip. So for
That's
this
awesome.
This year the giving back trip is going to be to Puerto Rico.
Nice.
And the passion trip is to Havana, Cuba. And if you're going to do something, if you're going to make a difference, you're going to want to do it with people that are of the same mindset as you. And a lot of times people go to networking events or parties or conferences, and they may find a handful of people that think and act and look at life the same way that they do. Mm-hmm. Here, you're going to be with everyone in the ballroom that thinks and acts and wants the same thing.
You know, it's interesting over the years that I've done this work. And again, I'm coming back to like the coming out stuff. You know, people get hung up and go, okay, but I don't know how I'm going to be who I am, or, you know, how am I going to find my people? And I'm like, you have to just step out there and look for them. And even as I've worked with a couple of entrepreneurs over the last couple of years, you're like, I'm really passionate about what I'm doing, but I'm having a hard time, you know, keeping that passion alive. And the question I always ask them is, who do you have in your life that's really passionate about what they're doing? And it's amazing, because both people have said, well, I don't really have anybody. You know, everybody I know, they're kind of the 9-to-5ers. They do their 2.5 weeks vacation a year. They have, you know, whatever. And I said, then maybe, just maybe, you need to surround yourself with some passion people, because it rubbing shoulders, it rubs off, you're inspired. And as you said, Carrie, you're accountable. There's an accountability, even if it's not like you got to show up. There's something about when you're around those people. I know for me, when I'm around my passion people, I feel accountable in my own self to show up about, here's what I'm doing to keep my passion alive, because I know that's how they're all going to show up too.
Right. It's exciting. It's adrenaline filled. It's the place where you want to be. And Unfortunately, most people don't have that in their life on a regular basis.
Right.
And If you're sharing your hopes and dreams and your goals and you're not getting support, then That person is really not a friend. That person's not supporting you. And a lot of times we cling on to certain relationships and, you know, we're not looking at, is this allowing me to be the best version of myself? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we're doing things to impress other people in one way, shape, or form. And I learned in a very early age that I realize, I'm going to say this, but I mean this, But I, to some extent, I don't care about how people view me or think of me. And I'm going to say a strong statement, but the way I mean that is, no matter what I do, no matter what anyone does, people are going to make preconceived judgments about you without knowing you. Or maybe you knew this person 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and you still remember them for who they were then. And we're always new people. Every single day we're changing.
Absolutely. And
a lot of times when we see someone, we treat them like we remember them, as opposed to who they are now, and maybe even trying to find out who they are now. So when someone, at least to me, when someone makes a judgment on someone else, it might not be based on anything. It may be a personal preference. It may be an image they decided to figure this is who that person is, or it may have been an experience that they thought happened and it was with an entirely different person. Right. But sometimes you can't even change the other person's mind about you. So why stress about it? Mm-hmm. Why allow that to get in your head? And with that, there's another important thing I'd like to mention, and that is only you can allow yourself to feel negative about anything that happens to you. So whether someone comes up to you and calls you a name, whether someone flips you off or cuts you off, you could have road rage, you could have anger, you can choose to allow that to consume you. But in my book, I talk about something called the 5-minute rule. And what that means is, if something like that happens, take 5 minutes to process it if you need, and then realize it's happened in the past. There's nothing you or anyone else can do to change that. So you can accept it and move on, or you can dwell on it and have it ruin your day. But Don't ever say, this person ruined my day, or this made me do this. No, we all have a conscience. We all have free will. And if you allow that, then it's on you. And I think with a little bit of practice, people can learn to master that. And literally, when I'm thrown a challenge, and I call them challenges instead of problems, because challenge is a solution. When I'm given a challenge, I'm immediately looking at a cognitive perspective as opposed to an emotional perspective. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, you know, you're almost like a ninja dealing with whatever comes at you. And yeah. It's an awesome space to be in.
It is an awesome space. And one of the ninja tools that I found really helpful for me, and I actually went through this last night, there was a situation happening, a very big challenge. And I immediately asked myself the first question I try to ask myself every time I'm faced with a challenge. What part of this challenge has happened to me before? So that I go, wait, if there's something that I feel like some part of it has happened before, I know this is a lesson I still have to learn. And the thing that happened last night actually stopped me from immediately getting on the computer and typing out a really bitchy email to the person that was causing this challenge. And I thought, you know what? This is one of those moments where if I respond right now, this is why this is going to happen again. So I just walked away and said, I will deal with this tomorrow. And because I dealt with it this morning rather than last night, everything got worked through in a much quicker, more mutually beneficial way than had I like immediately dove in. But the question that stopped me was, what part of this challenge has happened before? Because there was a trigger, and I knew the trigger was going to trigger me every time. And the more I learn those triggers, the better I get at just be in the moment and don't react, don't respond, think through before you go on. And it's similar to the 5-minute rule that you just brought up too. I think it's a really powerful way to be in these situations.
Yeah, that's huge, because again, responding immediately, and you know, back in the day it was drunk dialing is what we did. Now you call it drunk texting or
exactly.
But exactly, you if you're not in that cognitive space and you're emotional, it's not going to work out in a positive manner.
Absolutely. So give us a little bit about the lineup. I know I'm going to send people over to the website, and we've got a great discount for people who are listening, but talk a little bit about some of the big presenters that are going to be there this year.
Absolutely. So aside from myself as one of the speakers, I have Hal Elrod, who is the author of The Miracle Morning.
He's a great guy.
He's amazing, and the book is a bestseller all over the world. And I've had the honor and privilege of knowing him for the past 20 years.
Wow.
He was a rock star salesperson in one of my clients' companies. And he has a very interesting story, because back around the age of 18, he was dead for about 6 minutes. He was in a car accident. He was hit, and the doctors thought he would never walk or be effective in a number of ways. And he's one of the most positive people that I know. Not only did he persevere and continue to be a rock star salesperson, but then he became a best-selling author. And about a year and a half ago, he was diagnosed with a very rare form of leukemia for young men. And it was a battle. And as of late, he's cancer-free.
Wow, it's amazing.
So really an amazing person. And if you've ever heard Hal speak before, this is going to be a brand new keynote.
Nice.
He's a very engaging, inspiring individual. And just honored to have him as one of our keynote speakers. And I have people like Patricia Moreno. She is a international speaker as well. She's an expert in mental, spiritual, and physical fitness. She has over 20 years of teaching and public speaking, a very engaging and really an awesome person. Mary D goes by Chief Fun Officer. She's a world traveler. She claims to be a chocoholic, but she helps entrepreneurs reach their potential. She's been doing this for over 2 decades, and she's in the direct sales space, and her passion is fun, people, and adventure.
All right.
John Vroman, who is the co-founder of Front Row Foundation, which I've been a founding board member for the past 13 years. He is someone who I originally met over 20 years ago, again, through working for one of my clients. And we became friends. He was actually my client. And there was a point where he decided to leave the corporate world and make a new direction and give everything up and write a book and start speaking to the colleges.
Right.
And for a number of years in a row, he was voted best college speaker. And he recently came out with a book called The Front Row Factor, and also handles the podcast for Front Row. There's there's so many things. And front row is more about living your life in the front row, that experience.
Right.
And he's really a amazing person, and he's engaging about giving back and what it means to give back. Emily Baker, another one of our main speakers, is the founder of Ask a Lawyer. Mm-hmm. And, it's called Ask a Lawyer Now. And she's been a practicing attorney for over 11 years. She's worked for 10 years as the LA County District Attorney. And she really has a desire to help people and lend her voice to those who needed it. And that's where her desire to Ask a Lawyer came from.
Mm-hmm. She's an amazing gal. I had her on the podcast, and I met her when she did her first TEDx or TED Talk, and okay. I just fell in love with her. Just thought she's an amazing person. So
she definitely is. I have Alyssa Seeley, who's mm-hmm. a professional triathlete. She's also a Paralympic gold medalist in the triathlon.
Wow. And,
just inspirational and motivational, and she's had so many challenges, and where she has come from and where she is now inspiring others is truly awe-inspiring. I have other people that we're incorporating in different panels, and we're doing different interactive exercises. We're incorporating appreciative inquiry, which is a process, into the charitable section. And I have people in the health, wellness, and fitness and the mindfulness sector. So this is really about giving people the tools that when they walk away from this event, not only is the experience going to be amazing, not only are they going to be motivated and they're going to have accountability partners and they're going to have people that they're going to create friendships and networking bonds for the rest of their lives. Right. But we have something called the Passion Village, which is an area that will allow certain amounts of time for people to just get immersed in it. And there's tools and products and services and anything of value that can help people personally, mentally, emotionally, in business, and the tools to be more passionate about what you're doing. And I know there's people that want to live a healthier life. You know, one of the things I talk about in my book is treating your body like a thoroughbred. Mm-hmm. And the analogy is, if you purchased a thoroughbred horse, you wouldn't be going down to the fast food store and getting them French fries and cheeseburgers and everything else. You would find the best possible food, the best doctors, the best nutrition.
Right.
We only have one body that mm-hmm. we need to have last as long as we want it to. And if we don't take care of ourselves first, we can't effectively take care of other people.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely a focus on wellness and health and little changes that can be astronomical moves in going towards your goals and your own health.
I love what this is all bringing around, because I think a lot of people go, okay, this is how I got to go find my passion and all this stuff. And they focus on finding the passion or uncovering what it is, but they don't realize it's a holistic approach. You can't just go, let's go for the passion. It's like, how am I treating myself? How am I treating others? Because all this stuff starts to fit into that box of what really living a passionate life is all about. I think a lot of people miss that piece, that it isn't just something that is, okay, let's compartmentalize passion. Let's compartmentalize family. No, it all kind of works together. And then you have the whole picture. It isn't a let's pick and choose how we do this. And I love how you're bringing it all together, man. I'm so excited for it. And I'm still trying to figure out if I'm going to make it. I'm working through some calendar stuff myself to try to rearrange some schedules.
I'd love to have you there. You know, yeah. The whole thing about passion is sometimes people, it's right in front of you and you don't even know it. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is we all have groups of friends that anytime we need something, we know who the go-to person is.
Yep.
And that may not even be in their field, mm-hmm. but they're the go-to person for planning, or they're the go-to person for technology, or fixing this, or achieving a certain goal. And if they realize, because to them, that's just fun.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize is if something comes that easy to you and you're doing it because it's fun, because you're good at it, that's something that other people could benefit from. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. about sharing your talents with the world and first identifying what those talents are, because everyone is in a situation that they can be the best version of themselves, and everyone is here for a purpose, and everyone has value that is amazing to other people. It's just a matter of finding your tribe, finding the followers, not even a follower in a way of people following, but I'm talking about social media, people that gravitate because they're inspired by certain content. And that's really what it's all about. There's
that is what it's all about.
The technology, we're at a point right now with the greatest amount of technology and tools at our fingertips than mankind has ever had before. Mm-hmm. And how are we using it?
That's the bottom line. How do we use it to connect? You know, I work with so many people who are like, I have such a hard time connecting with people. I'm like, I'm calling bullshit on that, because now we can be connected in so many ways. Yes, there may be not the personal connection, but once you do the online connection, if you really want to connect, then you'll figure out a way to get to the personal connection as well. But there's so many ways to do it.
But that's their fear.
That is their fear.
And if you have that fear and you don't define it, and you're just using that as an excuse, like, I can't do this, or I can't do that. No matter what, I mean, there's a scenario. There's someone who mentioned to me the other day that they have a problem and they just can't ever figure out the way to use the word there, whether it's there or there, meaning mm-hmm. that they are, or they're the possessive, or they're in a direction. For the life of me, I can't figure it out. And I call bullshit on it, because it isn't, I say that's not important to you then. Because if there was a bag of $1 million cash right over here, and in a day you had to master those three things, I guarantee you would do it.
Absolutely.
And that's it. A lot of times the reward isn't perceived as big enough to the challenge. So therefore we take the easy way out, and we say, I can't do it. And what ends up happening is that messes up your whole subconscious, and you are now thinking negative, and that's a whole other story. But
no, but it's a good point. It's a good place to kind of wrap things around, because what you just said is, you know, it isn't important enough, but also obviously the pain isn't great enough either. You know, those are both motivators. If the pain becomes so great, then the motivation will be there. And if it's important enough to you, you'll be able to overcome the pain. And I think most people, as they start to grasp that concept and realize, okay, how painful is this? I'm going to go back to what happened last night. It was a huge technology challenge. It was a real pain. And I thought, you know what? The pain isn't great enough for me to have to resolve this tonight, but it's important enough for me to get a good night's rest so that tomorrow morning when I wake up, I can just get out of bed. It'll be the first thing I address before I do anything else for my day, because I know the pain will be too great if I let it go beyond 8 o'clock in the morning. Absolutely. And that's why I moved through it, because I knew I wanted to do this to clear the rest of my day, because I knew, I had to talk to you and a couple other podcast people, and I didn't want it getting in the way of making all this other stuff happen. So hey, man, I am so glad we got to connect. I'm so excited about the summit, and I'm wishing you just oodles of good luck. Hopefully, like I said, I'll try to make it there. But before we wrap up,
we'd love to have you and also your listeners. And
absolutely.
And the mention is that we have a special code for your listeners.
Yep.
And it's thepassionsummit.com. And if you use the code Bold Moves, all in caps, Bold Moves, it'll take $350 off of the retail price. So,
and that's a great deal.
It's awesome. Amazing 2-day immersive. Lunch is included both days. We have a great room block rate that includes a hot breakfast. So I mean, everything's there, and it's amazing people, and I can't wait.
I can't wait for you to do it either. So, all right, my friend. Well, thank you so much. I truly enjoyed this conversation. You are an inspiration, and you've obviously uncloseted your passions to live your bold life, and you really do inspire people. So thanks once again for being here, man.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you.
All right, there you have it. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, but that's okay. We're going to be back in just a couple of days sharing more stories, tips, tricks, and wisdom for helping you live your life uncloseted. And you know what? You can share it too. Just take a few moments if you like and if you believe in this podcast and share it with someone you know today. Share it from your phone, go share it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you are. Maybe even give us a rating and review, because you know what? It's all about the planet living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, host of the show and the guy who helps you make those big, bold moves. And I hope you never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted. Catch you real soon. Take care, everyone.